Dream a Little Dream by Giovanna Fletcher, read by Jesse Cave. Chapter 1. I'm by the canal. I should head straight to work. I'm already late. I promised I'd be in early today to help my boss Jonathan dye his hair blue, but I decide to sneak in a trip to the Barge Cafe first. Docked on Hartford Union Canal alongside Victoria Park, I assume it's a permanent location as I haven't seen it move in the 8 years I've lived here. Its pop-up white picket fence sits on the canal bed, with red and green bunting draped between its peaks, enclosing several picnic benches for customers to perch on. On the off chance that passers-by haven't been seduced by the quaint vibe the floating cafe offers, a little back chalkboard listing all the day's specials sits on the pathway, meaning you have to look at it to sidestep around it. And once you've looked, you're sucked into its charms. You have to go in. The barge itself is a good size. By that I mean it's not small, but it's not huge. It's big enough to contain a counter of cakes and treats which sits snugly across its width, and 8 little wooden tables, each accompanied by a pair of cream chairs with red gingham seat pads to match the tablecloths. I could try spinning off some barge facts and figures here, but I don't know anything about them, nor do I find it interesting. This barge gives me coffee. I like coffee. I like this barge. Caffeine. Give me caffeine, the voice in my head always begs at the mere sight of the bunting flapping in the wind as I hastily make my way along the canal. Who am I to deny such a simple request? I spend far too long at the counter wondering if I can handle the guilt that comes along with a slice of Bakewell tart, or whether it's best just to leave it be. I decide against it and order a skinny latte from Dermot O'Leary, who's sweating in his trademark suit behind the counter. Once he's finished and handed me my order, I turn to disembark. I catch sight of something in my peripheral vision, yet I'm already out the door and on solid ground by the time the image is processed. Brett Last. No one special. Just a friend of a friend who I hung out with occasionally in my first year of university, when we had house parties or whatever. I can't really remember more than his face and name. Everything else about him is a blur. Facts that have escaped my memory over the last decade spent living as a grown-up. How funny seeing him there, though, sipping on an espresso with his little finger sticking out as he brings the tiny cup to his pouting lips. I could turn back. Go say hi. I don't. He wouldn't remember me. That would be odd. Awkward. Time to sort out Jonathan's blue hair, I decide, walking with purpose towards the underground. My phone blasts out the killer's Mr. Brightside, telling me it's time to get up and get ready for work. I could have gone for something jollier, or just one of the standard ringtones on my phone, but being woken up by a passive-aggressive tune seems to work wonders for me. It sets me up for the day as it sends fire through my bones and wakens my sleepy head. I don't jump out of bed in a mad dash to get ready for work. Instead, I lie there and take in the morning. My room is awash with sunlight bursting through the curtains, clearly failing in their task of being any sort of light barrier. Not that it matters. I've always had the ability to sleep anywhere. I don't need it to be pitch black or even quiet. I once fell asleep in a busy pub and I wasn't even drunk. Besides, I actually quite like being greeted by the sun when it's time to get out of bed and start another day. I really struggle when it's grey and miserable outside. I'd rather roll back over and write the day off, giving in to the gloom. Yes, the weather plays a big part in my mood. I need a little sunshine in my mornings to get me started on the right foot. I kick my legs free from under my duvet and have a little stretch, my body debating whether it's ready to leave the warm bed I've been cocooned in for the past 9 hours. While it mulls over the notion of a Wednesday morning, I pull my fingers through my dark brown hair, untangling the knots as I go. My wavy barnet was glossy and smooth when I went to bed last night, so God knows what I did in my sleep for it to get into such a frizzy, dishevelled and alarming state. Birds could nest in there and I wouldn't have a clue. Well, until they started tweeting, obviously. Then I'd probably have a mad panic and vow to stay on top of having my hair relaxed every few months while smacking my head to get them out. I take my hands to my pale, sleepy face to catch a mammoth yawn.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?